One on there, there's two. Might as well get started, huh? Welcome everyone as you come in. Today is March 10th, Thursday, 2022. I'm Roy Potter, welcome. This is an impromptu, this is an extemporaneous, this is one I decided to put up just a few minutes ago. So let me give you a little bit of rundown here. I'm gonna ask you to do some research. Maybe some of you have done it. I'm 5x5. Thank you very much there, Eric. I appreciate it. I listened to Alex Jones today. Of course, I listened to David Knight this morning. And with all of the things going on, I thought I'd listen to see what InfoWars is about. And it was pretty interesting. The reason why I was listening is because I knew that Lee Stranahan was going to be one of the guests. And I wanted to hear Lee's take. I mean, I already knew what his take is, because I follow him pretty close. He has his own podcast and some other things, and I've listened to him for a number of years. He's an expert on the Russian-Ukraine situation. So, but I wanted to just hear how Alex addressed him during the show and what he would say, what Lee would say. So I listened to the show for that reason. And then Alex also had on Oliver Stone's son, because Oliver Stone's Ukraine on Fire has been taken down by a lot of different platforms, the most recent being YouTube, and then possibly even Amazon has taken it off. All of this censorship, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I wonder why they didn't do it when Oliver Stone made his movies about JFK and the Vietnam War. But regardless, it's a different time now where communists are definitely trying to control the narratives. That's what they do. And we're seeing it big time with this whole thing with the extant disease, and with the war between Russia and Ukraine, and really between the U.S. and Russia. We're really at war with them at this point. It just hasn't gotten hot with us. It's a proxy. But regardless of that, the tactics of suppression and propaganda and misinformation is alive and well. Operation Mockingbird is working. The CIA is working real hard, on every possible political issue you can imagine. The truth is always absent. As we've often said, it'd be easier for them to tell the truth, but they do the lies anyway. But you all know that. But that's the reason why I wanted to listen this morning. And before I get to those three points, I wanted to give you some information. I have a friend who's a geologist. He occasionally watches my program here, my YouTube. I suspect he'll see this, probably not while it's live, because he's out doing his work today, which is, I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But I talked to him about this subject, it was probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago. It came up because I was aware of it and I wanted to know his input, because supposedly this concept, this actually evidence is suppressed by, of course, corporations that want to keep control of the petroleum industry, number one. Also, the pretense of shortage. A lot of you probably may not remember, but back in the 70s and or so, they were saying that, you know, we're going to run out of oil in 20 years, and so, you know, we've got to start switching. It was always trying to switch us off of petroleum, and you got to ask yourself why. I mean, certainly if petroleum comes from decaying and pressurized dinosaurs and other life forms, yeah, there's probably a limited resource there, right? But we never seem to run out. You know, certain wells might dry up. And again, Alex was talking about this morning. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's really important as to where we are today. Why this shift to green, which is really a way to control everyone. Because if they wanted to get off of oil, they could go to some of the other energy sources that are available just in the environment. And we know about those. The Tesla, the things that can be done with the idea of Tesla, electricity, magnetism, things like that, and hydrogen, even water, the use of steam to produce power. We can actually do that in cars. Now you can actually use water to power an engine. It's a steam type engine, and it's I don't understand all the engineering about it, but I remember it came out again in the 70s. Anyway, a lot of these things are available. But they've kept us on petroleum for a long time, and now all of a sudden they want to make this big shift. And I'm not going to get into the politics of that today. I think a lot of us can see what that's all about. It's definitely about control and that type of thing. You get electric car. I mean, it's a lot easier to turn off an electric car than a gas car, right? And trying to find, well, that's all a different subject. What I want to cover is, sorry, I get, you know how I get off track. Bring in too many items to discuss. I want to talk about two things that happen kind of conjointly in the production of oil, of petroleum. And some of you may know about this, and I want you to kind of look it up. You can look at it on Google, and of course you're going to be told right off the bat on Google that it's been debunked, but that's not true. My geologist friend, who's been in the field for 30 years, tells me that no, the biology, the biological things that are inside the petroleum are most likely put into the oil on its way through the mantle to the surface, or as it's being forced up into the mantle, and then of course once it's drilled down and pumped out. The fact of the matter is, he brought up two principles, and Alex mentioned them today. Well, he mentioned one of them, and it's abiotic petroleum, A-B-I-O-T-I-C. That means without biotics, is what it means. And then a sister principle to that, which has to do with the production of those abiotic products, which is oil, is abiogenic, A-B-I-O-G-E-N-I-C. And again, this isn't new to me. It's just it was interesting that I heard Alex bring it up, because we're really being played on so many levels. In fact, according to this geologist, and according to the process of abiogenic oil production deep in the earth, it's a renewable resource. The earth actually renews it over time, just like, you know, the exchange of oxygen and CO2. That same type of thing happens. It is, in fact, a renewable resource. Now, the question comes, does it really pollute? Well, yeah, internal combustion engines can be quite polluting because, you know, if they're not tuned right or whatever, you can put out substances, particulates, gases that are bad. But with the emissions controls that we have today, that's really a moot point. It really isn't a problem. All of that can be scrubbed out. The CO2 isn't, of course, but the CO2 is necessary for the plants, as we've talked about so long. More CO2 in the environment's not the problem. Of course, the reason why they're talking about carbon is because they want to kill us, right? That's really what it comes down to. They're trying to change the carbon nature of this life planet and turn it into their own creation, the metaverse and all that kind of nonsense. But at any rate, so getting back to the principles, again, I think you probably ought to look into these two things so that you're well informed. And again, you're going to find studies that support this, and you're going to find people that debunk it. But my understanding, after talking to my geologist friend, who is actually out in the oil fields, and his brother is too, they both work in geology looking for oil fields, oil deposits, oil reserves in the earth. The abiotic oil produced by the abiogenic process, which is something that happens deep in the earth with the gases that are already in the earth, and then the pressures that are brought to bear deep in the earth, all of that produces this oil. And so the predominance of the oil that we have is produced by the abiogenic, abiotic process. It's not biology-based. It's not dinosaurs, you know, decomposed and then changed into oil. That not saying that can't happen, because it can, but that's not the major resource that they're actually pumping out of the earth. You do have to go down deeper, apparently, for the abiotic oils But that would only make sense, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, if you had dinosaurs and plant life and all that get buried under tons and tons and tons, hundreds of thousands of tons of earth and rock, that pressure, you know, as it changes, would be fairly close to the surface. It'd be up in the crust. And apparently with this abiotic oil, you have to go deeper. And that only makes sense. So again, apparently these things are produced deep in the earth, and they're pushed up into the mantle where the process continues, and then you can pump it out as it gets closer to the crust. And the biologies, the biotics, the biological organism that are in there are actually getting into the oil as it's brought up to the surface, apparently what I understand. And there are, you know, biological organisms that actually feed on oil. I don't know if you know that or not. They use those types of things in oil spills in the ocean and things like that. So at any rate, look those up. So we're being lied to again on everything. There's nothing that they don't lie to us about. They always want to have their options open. Abiotic, A-B-I-O-T-I-C, oil, and it's an abiogenic process, A-B-I-O-G-E-N-I-C. And I'm going to talk to my geologist friend. I think he'd be a little camera shy. He works for the government. So he probably wouldn't want to go on a live stream. But I'll see what he has to say. Chances are he won't. Most people that work for the government or have worked for the government, they really don't want to do that. And I can't blame them. I know what happens. So, but I think you'll learn a lot by checking those things out, meaning that the earth replenishes oil. That's exactly right. Abiotic oil, which is what most of our petroleum is renewable. The earth renews it. It's almost like Alex said today, it's almost like God put it there because he knew that that we need it for energy. Number one, I guess a motorcycle started up somewhere. That we would need it for energy, but number two, it would add CO2 to the earth, which is a necessary element of life. You got CO2, you got oxygen, you got water, and you have sunlight. So here we are, we have these crazy guys saying we need to deplete our CO2, which means kill life off, and the fact of the matter is we need more of it. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I also want to talk about all the crazy things that are coming out on the propaganda, the misinformation and disinformation. Now, you know, there are governments that say they want to prosecute people for giving misinformation on Russia and on the disease and all those things. I want to remind you that the classification system, you know, the confidential, secret, top secret, etc., the real purpose of those isn't to keep the information out of the hands of the enemy. I mean, that's, you know, out of your adversaries. That it's used for that, but in the way things operate now, it's really to keep the information from the public, from you. So that's what it's about, so they can keep you in the dark and keep their thumb on you. All right, just so you know that, I just wanted to pass that along. I've talked about it before. Okay, well, let's get to the interviews because I think they're kind of important. Oliver Stone, I already mentioned, his movies were taken down off of YouTube, Ukraine on Fire, and apparently also taken off of some portions of Amazon, which shows you how afraid they are of that particular film. If you can watch it, I think apparently it's on band.video now. You can actually go watch the whole film there for free. And I think there's another place on the InfoWars channel, but it's worth probably checking out. And then, like I said, Lee Stranahan, you should listen to his interview if they get that posted up separately, because he does give you some inside information. He's not a military guy, so he can't really speak to the tactical and strategic situation. But as far as the background information on what happened and why things are progressing the way they are now, I think it might behoove you to listen to that. I won't comment on it much further because, you know, I don't want to take you off of that. I think you need to go listen to it. I will just say that they're trying to make it sound like that Russia is going to do some nasty things with biological agents and chemical agents and all that. And as I've said before, the Russians have no reason to do that. No reason whatsoever. They really want to keep Ukraine as intact as they can, and their tactics so far have proven that. And what they're trying to do, of course, is do the little Syria thing where, you know, they claim that Syria gassed their own people when they didn't. We all know about that, or at least we should. And then, of course, they're talking about the Russians killing babies in hospitals and all that. Well, I'm not saying that was deliberate. I'm not even sure it happened. But if you're setting up military observation posts and sniper positions and firing positions inside a hospital, that's going to happen. I mean, that's on the people that used it as a shield. But, of course, that's going to be an old argument that nobody's going to agree on of what's happening there. But also, don't forget what happened if you were around during the first Iraq war. They said that in Kuwait, they had this little girl, I think she was 15, she was the daughter of an ambassador or something like that, came in and testified to Congress that the Iraqi soldiers came in and took the Kuwaiti babies out of their incubators and threw them on the floor on the cold, hard concrete floor, and left there to die. And it was all a lie. It was all a drama. It was all theater, what that girl was doing. So you're going to get those things. Don't buy into those. Try to look at the bigger picture about what's happening and what the geopolitical situation is. If you stick with that, you're going to be a lot closer to the truth. And then I wanted to mention the Dowd interview. This is where I'm going to come after Alex again, like I did yesterday and like I do often. So Dowd comes on and he's talking about the disease situation. He's talking about the treatment situation and the financial situation surrounding all of this. And he says, we need to hold everybody accountable that's pushing this. Hold everyone accountable that's pushing the treatment, including all the other restrictions and all that. And Alex, of course, brought up, oh yeah, you know, this guy and that guy and the Democrats and that. And he still will not tell Trump to back off and call him out and condemn him for pushing it. Now, I've sent those, I put it out on the video yesterday. I don't know if you saw that one, but I know I've seen a lot of my things in the past, and I certainly sent things to those four people I told you about, Christy Lee, John Bound, Darren McBreen, and the Don Salazar. And I know that they're sending some of that to him because I got a response back from Christy Lee and John Bound that it was just a like on somebody else trying to call me out for calling Alex Jones out. But the fact is, apparently they're watching it. So I would suggest that everybody should call out Alex Jones and do it through his reporters. Christy Lee, you can find these on Twitter. It's at Christy Lee TV, at John Bound News, or at John Bound, actually it's Newsbound, at Newsbound, at John Bound Politics. Darren McBreen is media something, I can't remember now, but Darren McBreen is on there, and then Adon Salazar as well. I think it's at Adon Salazar. And any of Alex's friends that you've got access to, Joe Rogan, Gerald Celente. And why am I, people say, Roy, why are you so intent on grabbing Alex and shaking him and trying to get him to do this? Because his influence, that's why I watch him. He influences millions of people. And if he doesn't call out, even if he's talking about all the negatives, when Trump gets out there and then pushes it, not only does it make Alex look culpable or stupid, or maybe both, but it's getting people sick and murdered. That's why. And Alex is an accessory to it, as I said yesterday. So Dowd said, like I just explained, the people that are pushing this need to be held accountable. And, of course, the name of Trump is conveniently put aside. I think Dowd would have gone there, but he knows where Alex sits with Trump. So he didn't push Alex into that corner. But I could sense that Alex was afraid Dowd was going to go there. Well, if Alex is afraid of that, then he's not a truther. He is not a man that is really interested in saving lives. He's only interested in his own skin and the skin of his own family. I hate to be that blunt, and I hate to be that accusatory, but that's the evidence. So I appreciate all of, like his guests today. I appreciate the fact that he has these kind of people on. I appreciate the research he has, even if he did get it from the book of the Order of the 300 or whatever that was. you know, bringing it out in public is great. I don't care if he makes money about it, but don't cover up a crime and the perpetrators. And he's as guilty of doing that in this thing situation with Trump as anybody is who's protecting anybody else that's involved in it. By the way, I guess the Moderna CEO sold all of his stock and is gone. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, you know, so I won't say it again. And apparently there's some other things going on in the stock market with those companies, I'll just put it that way, that Dowd brought up. And so there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, people trying to hide, run away, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, I can't see the chat again very well because it's so bright out here, but I wanted to bring that up again. The important thing here is that we're being played on this whole Green Deal and the petroleum, the renewable resources, not just the fact that there are other forms of energy besides their green idea of electricity, which they can, I mean, think about it. If we have a problem with the electrical grid, right, which happens all the time, then what do? And then I saw a thing the other day where it was true, where you go in and, you know, you said something on social media they don't like, and you go in to gas up your vehicle, and I should say recharge your vehicle, and it says, no, you can't recharge for 48 hours because you've been a bad person. You said something you shouldn't say, right? Which is exactly what we've seen, you know, with the ATM type money in the banks anyway, but that's just another level of control. So let's find out, you know, look into this abiotic and abiogenic idea. Again, when you bring that up, at least on Google and Wikipedia, there are going to be pros and cons, but as you look into it, and especially if you know a real geologist like I do, you'll know that the evidence is very strong that the abiotic, abiogenic oil situation is in fact the case. Not saying there isn't biologically based petroleum, but that the real resource is in the abiotic, abiogenic areas. Okay. All right. Hey, thanks everybody. That's all I got. I've got to run and do some other things, but I wanted to get that out today. One other thing on the live stream last night, I started talking about, you know, I'm a real person. What you see is what you get. And then I brought up Yesenia, right? The Native American lady who gives healing sessions on ASMR. And I told you about her before, holistic Reiki ASMR by Yesenia. And then I kind of got off track and I couldn't remember why I brought her up. Well, it's because of what she said about being your real self, being authentic, not putting on a front. You know, The Who did a song a long time ago, and it's still quite popular, called Eminence Front. And that's exactly what she's talking about. Not putting on an air, not pretending to be something you aren't. Be authentic. And if you're authentic, then your soulmate, if you're looking for one, will find you, because they're looking for that authentic you. And plus, being the authentic you is really what you want anyway. You don't want to be a pretense, right? You don't want to be a Trump, right? I know I nail him a lot, but that's really the case. So that's the other thing I was going to say last night, and then I slipped my mind and I didn't get that out. So Yesenia again was saying, be your authentic self, unite with that, even meditate on it, and ask God to help you to be your authentic self. I mean, you're going to be anyway, but at any rate, I think that's good counsel. And so I applied that to myself. Really, like I said last night, what you see with me is what you get. And pretty much, I'm pretty much like I am everywhere I go and with everybody I meet. So I think I fill that bill to some extent. It hasn't really helped me very much. Been pretty difficult, actually. But I guess, you know, if everybody liked you, you know that you wouldn't be on the right course. All right. Water car pulls water from the air. Oh, there you go. Thank you. See, you probably know more about it than I do, and I wasn't sure about that, but I've heard some different things about that. So anyway, thanks everybody. I'll go ahead and get out of here. Go look those things up and listen to Lee Stranahan's interview with Alex when it gets up. I'm not sure it'll be up until later this afternoon. And you might want to listen to Mr. Dowd as well. He had some really good information. And kudos on Alex for having these people willing to come. He's had Dr. McCullough, for instance, Dr. Malone, Dr. Carrie. I don't know if Carrie Made was on there or not. I think she was once or twice. But anyway, that kind of people to give us the other side of the story and what's happening there. Okay. So I can't totally discount Alex, but he's got to get out of this Trump and Michael Flynn deal. He's got to get out of that because he's an accessory to what they're doing, what they're allowing to happen, pushing. All right, that's all I got. Everybody take care. We'll see you later. Have a good afternoon.